Have you ever made a mistake and you can't let it go? Do you ever do something wrong and you just can't? You know, everybody else says, move on, but you can't move on. Past couple days, I'm nicked up. I've replaced two faucets in the upstairs bathroom. You ever replaced faucets? You know, the area under the cabinet is about that big, you know. And you get under there and you can't. It's not like you're giving it this. And of course, there's always one nut or bolt or something that's corroded on. You had to pull out, and it's just a mess. I mean, and by the time you finish, you feel like you've been put in a dryer on the long cycle. You know, you're just beat to death. And you start to realize that things never are easy. You plan to go out to eat, and it's going to be lovely. Christian and I are going to be arm in arm. We're going to walk. Oh, you know. And of course, then time comes, go eat, and she has a headache, or I have this, or something happens because you never can reach perfection. I'm going to tell you, heaven is perfection. And I want to tell you something else. And you may have thought about this, you may not. Do you know you were designed to be perfect? You were created to be perfect. Yeah. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about the body groaning. Is anybody's body groaning? Oh, my goodness, yeah, I'm sore from head to toe, you know. And yet, at the same time, we were created to be perfect, but sin came in and didn't just mar us from a spiritual point of view. It has created decay to where we now live in a state of imperfection. So we hear the word perfect and things conjure up in our mind, and the closest to perfection a person will ever come is when they fill out a job application. Bill and Rosa, that's the closest to perfection will ever come. But God made us perfect, and look at this outline. Before we get into the good, let's look at the bad. We are saved sinners in fallen flesh. Every believer has been declared righteous. In Romans chapter 3, we see some interesting things that Paul said. First of all, he said in verse 10, there is none righteous. No, not one, and that means himself. No one is righteous. So we have had something to cause us to be unrighteous. We were made to be righteous. We were made to be perfect. But something came in and separated us from this. Something defiled us. And that defiling was sin. We see in verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If Adam and Eve had not sinned in the garden, and then their children would not have had sin, until somebody sinned, there would have been a perpetual state of perfection. Now, when I say perfection, realize I'm not saying God. I'm saying perfection. Now, we are God-like. Now, I don't want to get into trouble, so I'm going to explain what I mean. I kind of touched on this last week. One of the most significant things Jesus said in the New Testament was when they handed him a coin. They said, what about taxes? And remember what I said last week. He took and he showed the picture. I don't have a coin with me, but I might have Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or somebody on the coin. And he said, render unto Caesar that is, which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is of God's. And a very significant thing, because the coin has the image of Caesar. What has the image of God? Us. I give Caesar all the coins in the world. I give God what he has an image. And he has stamped his image on us. You know, I sit here and look at us. We are all the same and yet different. But we are stamped with the image of God. There have been a couple of people who have passed away in the last couple of days, and I've seen some just tremendous things written about them by their kids. And one was Art Brown's father. Art Brown's father died at age 95 a couple of days ago, and Art posted a picture, and he talked about his father, and it was just a tremendous, you know, eulogy type post, and I was just really uplifted. But I saw a picture of Art and his father, maybe a kid and a grandkid, and I looked and I said, boy, Art looks just like his daddy, because he has the image of him on there. You have the image of God, and you were made to live in that image, but Satan came to separate you from that image and to make you less than what God wanted you to be. In 1 Peter 2:24, he speaks of who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. So he came to redeem us, to get us out of this mess, at least spiritually. Because once we were separated, there was no going back. There was no getting it back. It's like when you ever had these big decisions? Some of you have made those decisions, like when you retire and you have to check a box. You know, I'm going to retire at this age or this age. And once you do, you know, the numbers. And once you do, it's kind of like you. And for days, you're like, which one do I choose? Do I retire at this age or that age? And once you make the decision, it's like it can't really go back. You ever had one of those decisions? I can't really change it. We went this week, we were looking at a van. And, you know, to replace, we're looking at a used van to replace the used van we had. And the used van we're looking at, it was about as used as the one we have, you know. And we went, and they had advertised on the website, you know, they had the picture out there, and the picture looked beautiful. And we got there, and the car wasn't ready yet, okay? They were going to get the car ready, had some mechanical stuff, and hadn't cleaned it up, which is fine. I can look right past the dirt and all that kind of stuff. So I went back there, you know, like I know what I'm doing, but I do know a little bit. And I popped the hood. I said, can I pop the hood? Yeah, pop the hood. I looked in there, and I said, well, there it is. No, I looked in there, and I noticed something that was amiss in the engine. Now, how did I know it was amiss in the engine? Because it has been amiss in my own engine. And I noticed that, and in my own mind, you know, how a red flag just goes up. And there goes the flag is flying. And I'm like, okay, I need to notice this. And we are very good at noticing the red flags in each other. We're very good at noticing the red flags in ourselves. I'm not going to get into psychology, but I want to ask you a question. Do you have a low self-image? Not that we need to build up ourselves, but when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see all the imperfections, all the failings, all the missed opportunities, all the squandered stuff? Or do you look in that mirror and see somebody who is made in the image of God, somebody who God said, I want to send my son and redeem that person because I love them. I want fellowship with that person. Now, I'm not saying that for us to just go around and have a good, think positive thing, but we need to see ourselves realistic. God loved us enough for Jesus to come and redeem us. And I mean, that ought to be, you know, run around time when we think about that. In 2 Corinthians 5, for he made himself who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. You heard in the prayer, we have been made perfect in righteousness. Not because I've earned it, not because I've kept the law. Jesus did that for me. The Bible calls this state justification. We've talked about that before. We talked about, you know, justification, sanctification, glorification, and we're going to about to get into this glorified state in a moment. But a couple more verses. Romans 8, going down to verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Conformed to the image of his son. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Isn't that great? We are to be conformed to the image of his own, that he might be the firstborn born among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also will indeed glorify. And that's where we get into this, what will it be like in heaven for us? This glorification. We understand our position now. Our position now is we were born in sin. God has raised us in righteousness. One day we will leave this earth if he does not return before our death. And when we leave this earth, we will go to heaven. And even after that, there will eventually be a resurrection of the body, and our spirits and body will meet back up, although I do believe in the intermediate state we'll have some bodily form. And we will be glorified. Do you like the word glorified? I like that. Made right. Made as God intended it to be. Before Adam and Eve and the buns and whoever else defiled this sin line. Went back and made it again. This is a good Easter message, right? You know, you go to John chapter 11. And John 11 is there. You don't have to turn there. But it's just the most fascinating. I love these scriptures. I go to Elijah and talk about the prophet. Remember the Shunammite woman whose son died, and she went and got the man of God to come and pray. And he went and there they had built a prophet's chamber on the house. And they said, okay, where's the son? He says, in your bedroom. And he went in there and the son was dead. And Elijah prayed, laid down on the boy. And finally the boy came to life. We saw last week when Jesus was walking along, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and Jairus, his daughter, was there dead. And he said he went and prayed for her and her spirit returned to her. Well, we see it again in John chapter 11. And I think we get to see these things so that we have no conception that life and death are not an issue for God. God can overcome those real easy. And in John chapter 11, you know, Mary and Martha are all upset. Lazarus had died. Lazarus had been dead, right? And this is a kind of a foreshadowing of what Jesus was going to happen. And then Jesus said some words. And when he said some words, something happened. What did he say? He said, Lazarus, and what did he say to him? Come forth. Now, you know, that's an interesting thing to say to somebody who's been in the tomb. Come forth. What's more remarkable is not what Jesus said, it's what Lazarus did. Lazarus came forth. And I want to tell you, the power of the Word of God is not matched by anything. Satan is no match by the power of the Word of God. Satan is a bigger match for me. He has me. But Jesus in me and the Word of God in me is no match, or Satan is no match for that. But what happened? It says, as he came forth, it said, and he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said something else. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And I want to say that when we get to heaven, when we go to heaven, and eventually when our bodies are resurrected, that's part of the process. We are having everything that taints us, loose him and let him go. Now, I want you to think of everything that holds you back now. It may be something that right now you say, it's hard for me to overcome this. This has been a foothold in my life. Maybe it's physically, maybe it's spiritually, maybe it's mentally. Something has been a grave cloth in your life. Wouldn't you like for Jesus to say, loose him and let him go? You will bind him no more with that. Part of me wants to please God. Part of me wants to do what is right. But sometimes I'm just physically unable to do what I want to do. Paul wrote about that, right? In Romans 7, he said, you know that nothing good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the things that are good, but I don't do them. I do the things that I want to do, but the bad things I want to do. I do not do the good things I want to do, but I do the bad things I do want to do. And we see, a wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body? Who will deliver me this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. But I want to tell you, there is even good news for the here and now, because we don't have to live in that state. We can be not only forgiven, we can be filled with His Spirit, and we can have a changed being on the inside. My body will not change. I am going to live under the original curse of the death of the body. But my spirit has been renewed. It has been set on a path. And no one can alter that path. Because it is a God path. Not an Andy path. Not a man path. So then, number two. What will we be in heaven? What will be a glorified body? And I'm going to make a statement here. We will have perfected souls. And I like the word perfect. I'm not scared of the word perfect. I'm just a little trepidatious of the word perfect. The word perfect says so many things. But I'm going to use it today because it is a biblical word. The most graphic attribute of God is His holiness. In Isaiah 6, which we've read and read a lot, love Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So God is holy and we cannot look upon God. As a matter of fact, He said to Moses, you can't see my face. You can't see me and live. But yet in heaven it says we're going to be able to look upon God. So something changes. Something changes where we can't look at the Father now, but then we'll be able to look at the Father. What changes? We will be in a glorified state. Now I want to tell you, that right there, that one thing, if you took that home and just said, that's it. That's an amazing thing to think about. Right now, we cannot look upon the face of God. You know, we can because of Christ, I get that. But then we will be able to look at God because He has brought us into our full state of glorified being. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. You can't see the Lord until you're holy. And we get to be holy because we have submitted ourselves fully to Jesus Christ, and He makes us, and we get to participate in His holiness. We even see in the book of Revelation, the final perfection of believers is pictured by just a symbol. Remember what the symbol was? White robes. I mean, the robes of purity. In chapter 6, we read of those killed during the end times. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little longer. Revelation chapter 7, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Or 1 Peter 1:15, but He who called you is holy, so you be holy in all your conduct. We see this whole message that we can be holy enough to approach God. Now I'm going to mention some things we're going to be perfected in. I think there's, I don't know how many there are. I did bullet points, 1, 2, 3, 6. I didn't get, these are not all just original from me, but I'm going to mention some of these out in Scripture. Number one, we will be perfect in our righteousness. And now the Scripture teaches us clearly that our righteousness is what right now? It's a filthy rag. I can't do any righteousness. I can't be good enough. I can't do enough good things. And I hear this in the world all the time. People have a balanced scale. And that's the way they look at life. If I balance the scale. And I heard Frank Barker many times for years. He says it in his little quiet way. He said, if you try to stand on your record, you have nowhere to stand. I'm going to stand on my record, or am I going to stand on the record of Jesus Christ? And I am going to be full of righteousness in that day. Right now. I mean, I have limitations. I got a lot of them. Coach thinks I got limitations. You better. I got limitations. Yeah, I wanted to tell him something. You know, something I can't see over 40 yards. So we're good right there. You know, we make mistakes. You better believe we make mistakes. But in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, it speaks of the holy city which we discussed last week, and it says, "By there shall be no means." Excuse me. By there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. You don't go in the city of God without being perfect in righteousness. Perfect in righteousness. Absolute perfection in righteousness. Again, I cannot even do anything to be righteous. But because of Jesus, He set the record straight. He has redeemed me. Redeemed me. Here I was, and now He's made me to the place where I was intended to be before the foundation of the world. Blessed are those who wash their robes, we see in Revelation, and they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter by the gates into the city. So we are going to be perfect in our righteousness. Let me just mention a couple more verses. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this. This verse has been coming to my mind lately. Come to me. You know what it says after that, right? Come to me what? All who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, we think of rest as I can't wait to eat a big Sunday lunch and get on the sofa. And that is a form of rest. But rest is I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about this. And you know where I am in my life right now? God has been working on me in many ways. And I have been practicing something. I know you'll be proud of me for this. And I don't mean proud in a bad way. I've been going through this whole process. Anytime I start to worry, I'm a natural worrier. Anybody else a natural worrier? All right, natural worrier. I say, God, whoa, I feel a concern coming up in my spirit. Before this turns into a worry, I want to take this concern and say, Lord, it's yours, not mine. It's yours, not mine. And He says, you know, come to me who labor. When you labor because you're anxious, bring that anxiety to me. Come on, cast it to me. I'll take it for you. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. We see that. In John. By the way, one more verse. And it's not even in here. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that great? You know, it's like we get pictures of our new nephew, you know. He's laying there. He's got a, you know, new outfit every 3 hours and all this kind of stuff. And there he is. And he's just wilding along in life, getting fed. You know, he's not thinking about paying the rent or anything like that. He didn't care about the election. He's just, you know, moving on through life. Well, you know, we can't be quite that loosey-goosey. But in a sense, we can move through life like that. Lord, this is your concern. It's yours, not mine. I'm going to honor you with all I do. I'm going to work. I'm going to do what you command me to do, what you lead me to do, what you point to, the direction you point me to go. But it's yours, not mine. And you know, we get that in our church too, right? With any church. It's God's church, not my church, not your church. It's God's church. Well, anyway, all right, number two. We will have perfect pleasure. Now, this is where we get into something. We kind of get a little meat here. Not only will we be perfect in righteousness, perfect in pleasure. You ever thought about that? You know, what will I be like? What will I look like? I assume, this is an assumption now. You know, I know what I look like now. I look like that then. You know, I used to always, you know, as a kid, you start imagining heaven. Well, I'm going to be 6'10". You know, well, I don't know, you're not saying you do that kind of thing. Or, you know, people have always said, well, I can't sing here, I can sing in heaven. Well, you know, I don't know how that'll work. I don't know any of that. But this is my package. Now, I pray that the Lord will take the things that have been defiled in this package and make them new again. That will happen. But this package, my voice is going to be my voice. When Christy's, hey, you know, she'll understand my voice, you know, because this is who I am. But think about pleasure. Psalm 16:11, in your presence, is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, in the presence of the Lord, there are pleasures forevermore. We read, there's a verse and talks about, you have made, I can't remember where it is, I think it's in Proverbs, you know, the lines have fallen right for me. You know, talking about, we've a lot of things going right for us in this earth. Here on earth, you know, everyone in this room, we might have issues, but do you realize how the lines have fallen right for us? Number one, where have we been born? I mean, come on. That's a big plus. You know, being born in the caste system of India is just not quite like being born here. Being born on the backside in the Sudan is just not like being born here. So we can already look at God's blessing and how He's blessed us even in the here and now. But my pleasures are forevermore. Don't you like to pleasure? What do you find pleasure in? Give me two things. What do you find pleasure in? Grandchildren. People. Yeah, you know, kids. You know, in the Old Testament, I can't remember if it's Ezekiel. I don't have the scripture. I'll look it up later. There's a little quip about heaven, and it talks about children playing in heaven. Ever thought about that? Children growing in heaven, growing to their fullness. Or maybe when you think about children playing in heaven, it may not be the child, the little kids, but we might all be like childlike again. I don't mean childlike in our maturity, but childlike. Do you remember what you did as a child? When you were a child, you could go and you would lay on the yard and watch the clouds, right? You didn't think about, well, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that. You would enjoy the pleasures of God's creation. And somehow we go to the mountains at times. We can't, well, we got to get here. We can't even enjoy Little Pigeon River because we got something else to do. There might be a little childlikeness there. Even the best moments on earth cannot compare with the pure, endless pleasures of the Lord. Full joy, full pleasure. Number three. How about this? How about perfect knowledge? Well, that's an interesting one. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:12. Great chapter, right? Paul said, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. You know, there are questions that I have, questions I don't understand. And I don't know all that He will allow us to know, but I will have full knowledge of things. Maybe some theological questions might get answered. You know, how does God's sovereignty and man's free will coexist? Or, you know, maybe you might have scientific questions about the galaxy or something. I heard R.C. Sproul say the other day, I want to know firmly who wrote the book of Hebrews. Well, you know, there's all these questions you might say, I want to know this, you know. And you've thought about that many times in your life. I want to have full knowledge. And now we see and we understand dimly. I don't understand it all. But then I will have understanding because I will see Him face to face. As I mentioned over the past couple of weeks, I've asked, I said, Lord, I would like just a glimpse. Can you pull back the shade and let me see? Can you just let me see? I have this, but it's still dim. I want to see fully. Then we won't have to worry about that. We will see fully. We have, do you have a frosted glass, maybe in a bathroom or something? We have one in our bathroom, big window there. And at night, you know, if you have a curtain over it or blinds over it, you can't see through it. But if you don't, you can see an image, but you can't make the image out. And there is the dimness. Then we will see clearly. Next word, the word comfort. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus' account of Lazarus and the rich man in Hades in Luke chapter 16. Abraham said to the rich man, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And I think of heaven, what will it be like for me? Not only will I have full pleasure, and you are going to be made for everything there. See, now you've been made for stuff, but because of sin and how that has marred your life, you are trying other stuff, and nothing ever fulfills quite completely. Then you'll be completely fulfilled. You'll also be completely comforted. Do you like to be comforted? I do. You know, it comforts me when I lose something and then find it. There's a sense of comfort right there. Or, you know, when something good happens, it comforts me. Or when you hadn't heard from one of your children in a while, and you hear, okay, you know, now you don't have it as much with cell phones these days, but, you know, in the old days, back with push-button phones, you know, rotary phones, you know, when you heard, okay, I just hadn't heard from you. I'm comforted to have heard from you. Well, that's the sign of full comfort. Well, the next word is the word love. Well, a perfect love. Now, by faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We will not need faith, we'll not need hope, but we will have love in heaven. And finally, the word joy. We will have perfect joy. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I made you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So those are just a few things will happen to us in heaven. I will have full perfection. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a time when you have pleasure at all times? Can you imagine a time when love is there, period? Doesn't go away. There's no hate. Can you imagine a time when there is complete joy, just all the time joy? By the way, we should have some of those things now, but, you know, there's just joy. What do you do when you're joyful? Come on. What do you do?
Smile,
laugh, whistle. You know, and it's not put, you know, there's put on and then there's not put on, right? You know, there's stuff that happens. You know, you can try to wipe it on, but that is not real. There's sometimes you're just joyful. And there's a lot of things that it's just happy times. Can you imagine having full and complete joy all the time? Just period. It's pleasurable. Did you lock the door? Don't need to. Did you get the lawyer? Don't need it. You got the doctor's visit? We don't have doctors up here. You know, yeah, you just got all these things. Just the pleasure of being with the Lord. The pleasure of being as He intended for you to be. Walking in the cool of the evening with Him and so forth. And with each other. Well, we'll have glorified bodies. I know the time. Yeah, as we learned previously, heaven is not merely a state of mind, but it's a real place. Therefore, there will be a real body. Now, let's go to John chapter 5. Don't turn there. Well, you can if you want to. For the hour is coming, starting in verse 28, in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. So there will be a resurrection of the body. I'm going to get this body back. And I'm going to get this body back, and it's going to be glorified. And when I'm glorified, as we see in 2 Corinthians and in Romans and other places, we groan earnestly now, but I'm going to be glorified in body. What will our glorified bodies be like? We see in 1 John 3:2 these words. We know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. The description of Jesus after He returned to earth on the resurrection, that is what we'll be like. You know, there's Jesus, and you know, now Jesus had the nail scars. I don't know if we'll have martyrs. I don't know any of that. Jesus was very interesting. He came. They knew who he was. They heard his voice. He talked to them. He reconciled with Paul. With Peter. He had all these discussions with them. But there's one interesting thing, and I can't get away from this. I don't know if it'll be like this for us, but I assume it is. And that's when they were in the upper room, he appeared. And the Bible makes a great point of saying the door's being shut, and there he was. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be interesting. My transport mode may be different than it is now. Maybe a different plane of transport. Now, that'd be nice. That'd be real nice. Lynn Miller and I were having a discussion, a messaging discussion a couple weeks ago. And I had been reading this, and I said something about, I said, when we get to heaven, we will have the barriers of distance will be removed. And that'll be something really to look forward to. We'll be like him. See, we're not going to be, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost riding on a cloud. It's a real place with a real Jesus and a real Christy and a real Elaine and a real Bertie and a real Andy. Real voices. Real eating. Tree of life, right? Real work. You don't know what kind of work it'll be. Real. It's not fanciful. It's real. I think the problem we get to is we start out making it more fanciful than we know. And then we get disappointed. And then we get even to a place, and I told Christine and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. When you get to a place, when you start to dread heaven, you've defined that thing wrong. And maybe it's not the dread of heaven. Maybe that's a fiery dart that's been put in you. You don't feel you're ready, or you're right, or you know, right with the Lord. I don't know. All right, but we'll have not only glorified bodies, but the world has this resurrected body. You know, in Luke chapter 24, behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Handle me. Touch me. And then went with Thomas. Go ahead. Touch, buddy. I'm real. You can't be real. Yeah, I'm real. And we're going to be real. Now, I don't know how we'll all be changed. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about this taking away of the body and so forth. And all who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. Then we get to 1 Corinthians 15, which Jacob read. And I'm going to implore you, commend you, tell you, encourage you to take 1 Corinthians 15 and read all 58 verses. We can't do that now. Read the 58 verses of 1 Corinthians 15. It talks about the resurrection of Christ, and it talks about us being resurrected as well. Things sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in a natural body, raised in a spiritual body. The natural body and the spiritual body come together. And we become so spiritual that the natural body starts to fall in line. Here, we have this flesh, and the flesh drags us down. There, the spirit in us will lift us to a higher plane. Now, you may be thinking, this is a wonderful doctrine, but what does this have to do with me right now? I want to tell you a little secret. You don't have to wait to heaven to start being a heaven creature. Now, I can't do anything about the body. I cannot do that. I can tell you all the positive things to say. I can give you all the formulas, eat apples, all this good stuff, and that'll help you live longer, maybe. But I can tell you how to be renewed in your spirit. And that is, die to yourself so that you can be raised again in the spirit. Die to everything that is of you so that you can be raised, not natural, but spiritual. We have the same bodies, yeah, but they may be different, sure. They won't be corruptible anymore. We have the same voices, yeah. Maybe they'll be used differently. Maybe I can sing for a change or something like that. I don't know how that will work. Maybe we'll play games. Maybe we'll climb mountains. For you beach people, maybe there'll be a beach. It says no sea. Maybe at least be a riverbed for you. You can get that. You know. Will there be golf in heaven? I don't know. Don't care. Because it says I'm going to have full pleasure. Will there be fast cars in heaven, Jim? I don't know. I don't care. I have full pleasure. You know what there will be in heaven? Not only will we be the Lord, we'll be with one another. There'll be feasting in heaven. There'll be relationships in heaven. How about this? No worries in heaven. No tears in heaven. No corruption in heaven. Don't you want those things? That's really what you want now. What you want right now. You don't want to live like Donald Trump. I wouldn't mind having a plane. You think you do. You don't really want that. If you got a Ferrari, well, okay, I'll take one. But if you got a Ferrari, you know, there'd be something, Maserati's coming next, you know. Because it never satisfies. But the full pleasures of the Lord satisfy completely. You know why? Because they're perfect. When you get home, I'd like for you to cut a piece of fruit. Well, you don't have to, but cut a piece of fruit. Or go outside and cut a pine cone or cut something and open it up. When you look in the inside, you will see glimpses of perfection of God's handiwork. And you'll see how, wow, these things line up and they're even. And it's amazing to see how this occurs. And you take the seed and you cut it and you start to see God's amazing handiwork. You know what I see? I don't have to look at an orange to see that. I see Tracy here. Tracy's a picture of God's amazing handiwork. Joy is a picture of God's amazing handiwork. Deborah's a picture of God's amazing handiwork. God doesn't want you. He is not. Doesn't want to be estranged from you. He wants to fellowship with you. We look at fellowship with God the wrong way too. We start to see God as, sitting around waiting for us to mess up so He can hit us on the head with a 2x4. Now, can you imagine? Well, some of you might, but can you imagine a good earthly father doing that? You know what a good earthly father does to his children? He loves his children. Yeah, there's discipline, but he's all for them. Look at him. Here's a picture. Let's go watch him play the game. They're hitting the ball off the tee ball. Oh, look at him. He's the best. That's what a good earthly father is. If a good earthly father can do that, imagine what a heavenly father can do. What will I be like in heaven? Similar to what I am now, but yet totally different because I will have been made perfect in all the ways that I fail here. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the encouraging words we see in Scripture. Lord, there's so much we don't know. But Father, as we think about being with you, being with each other with you, being with each other with you in a place of absolute perfection, perfection in righteousness and joy and pleasure and so forth, we simply say we can't wait. At the same time, we know you have an assignment for us to complete. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to complete our assignment and finish strong so that we might be in a place of reward with you where your pleasures never end. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.